cannot give what you don't have. You can't give as a husband what you don't have. You can't give as a father what you don't have. You can't give as a friend what you don't have. You can't give as a leader. You can't give as a host or a speaker or a writer. You might be able to fake it for a little while, but eventually you just will fall apart. So what I do is I'm very careful about what I consume. I'm careful about what I allow my brain to focus on. The minute I start getting a little wonky and I start getting a little bit of doubt, a little bit of fear, I've got to talk about it. And I got some people in my life that I talk to about it.
Welcome to the Voices of Freedom podcast, where we sit down with the voices behind the scenes at Freedom 95. And now your host, Jeremy Butel.
Thanks for listening. Yes, we already had Ken Coleman on just a couple of months ago. If you missed that one, I highly recommend you go back and hear that one in its entirety. Today, we're focusing on the current climates in the social distancing, flattening the curve era. Ken deals with people weighing career options on a daily basis on the Ken Coleman Show. And so he's about the perfect guy to have on right now. This is very timely. It was recorded on Tuesday, March 24th. We'll tackle things like looking for a job during COVID-19 and what leadership looks like during times of crisis. Thanks for listening. What is life like in the Coleman household during social distancing?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. We're not distancing from each other because we've been healthy. Mm-hmm. And, so, you know, it's three kids, two middle schoolers, a fifth grader, two doodles, a labradoodle and a golden doodle, and they're excited to have the kids home. And so we're out of school here, and my wife, Stacy, is she's the CEO. She's running things while I'm here at the office. I got the media distinction, so we've got about 30 people, just skeleton crews for all of our shows. And we're doing our thing, man. So it's kind of normal, but obviously a little abnormal with the sure. kids out of school and things like that. But other than that, relatively normal for us.
You hang around a Ramsey personality or a Ramsey Solutions team member for 5 minutes, and you're going to know the service provided from that facility is hope. And here you guys are. You get the tornado, what? 3 weeks before this?
Oh, yeah. Massive tornado and flattened large portions of the city itself of Nashville and then in surrounding areas.
So you get the tornado followed very quickly by essentially a shutdown.
Yeah.
And you guys are there providing hope, I would imagine, more than ever. Is it interesting location-wise during this time?
You know, there's less cars out, obviously, because, you know, you don't have kids in school. But, you know, my wife and I, we had some sunny weather on Sunday, and we went out for a walk in our neighborhood, and people were out walking their dogs and riding their bikes and doing these things. And, you know, everybody was friendly, saying hi. We weren't high-fiving or hugging or, you know, any of that stuff. But the reality is that you wouldn't have known that this coronavirus crisis was going on Sunday afternoon walking around my neighborhood.
That's good. Your show on the radio started up a little less than a year ago. How timely is it that you had that thing launched, then you ramped it up, got the YouTube channel started, and here you are in place to be a voice of reason in a time like this? Does that feel a little bit preordained to you?
Yeah, you know, there's no question about it. I think when we launched on Sirius XM in September of 2017, and then we went to syndication, of which you guys are a part of that plan, and we're so grateful for your station. Love being a part of the family there. We did that in July of 19 and YouTube first of 2020. Been podcasting that entire time. Mm-hmm. And we knew that we had a great opportunity because there was no talk show that was caller-driven. There's a lot of people in the work and professional space, giving people great content and guiding them along in their journey. But there was not a caller-driven show where it's the host is taking calls and walking people through their situations. So we felt like when we launched that this was going to be a great opportunity to bring a different kind of program, but encourage a lot of people because it's a massive audience. You think about the average American will spend 90,000 hours at work in their lifetime. So you think about Dave's involved with money. I'm involved in work, working on purpose, doing work that matters. It's a big swath of the global population. I took a call from England today. We routinely get international calls because of the podcast of the show, of course, has no borders. So we knew there was a great opportunity, and I certainly look at a time like this, and I think of all the people that have been laid off recently. Those will be laid off in the next couple weeks. Hopefully we get a return to normalcy soon, and I think you'll see certainly in the restaurant and tourism industry, you'll see a lot of those jobs come back. There will be some long-term damage, but yeah, I see a great opportunity to be in position to help and encourage a lot of people.
I've heard you say that there are three enemies we fight every day, fear, doubt, and pride. How have the calls that you're taking changed in these last couple weeks?
You know, it's interesting that you asked that because today's show was the first time that we had a caller actually mention the coronavirus.
Wow.
For 2 weeks. We haven't had anybody mention it at all. And that's not really surprising from last week because, you know, the shutdown was beginning to happen. And but I was a little surprised that we had not had more on Monday, and we had none. And today, two callers mentioned it, but both of the calls were, I'm sorry, we had three that mentioned the coronavirus. Two of them were, I don't like the job I'm in right now, didn't like it before the coronavirus, I definitely don't like it, and should I move right now? Should I jump? And then the third one was a woman calling on behalf of her husband who had not been paid and no communication from the company. So I think you'll see more of that over the coming weeks, but I will tell you that fear, doubt, and pride, they don't go away when the coronavirus goes away either. You know, those are three insidious enemies that we all face in the best of times. And so it's refreshing to see that people are thinking about the future. The calls are about the future. They're not about today, other than the actions that they might need to take today to get to the future that they want.
I think it was maybe a tweet from you. The most dangerous pandemic is panic. Focus on facts. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So if you're on social media or you're talking to somebody on the phone or a family member or a friend or whatever, and all you're catching from them is the worst case scenario, the latest negative piece of news, if that's what you are getting from those people or on social media accounts, what happens is that becomes extremely contagious. And we know that the brain has a function called the reticular activating system. I talk about this on the show all the time. And so what you focus on is what your brain goes out and takes pictures of. It goes and gathers the evidence of what you're focusing on. So it shows you right there how incredibly powerful our mind is and what we focus on. And so what I said in that social media post was that if we all panic right now, this thing is going to be way worse than it needs to be or can be. It'll make it way worse. So, for instance, people buying toilet paper for 6 months. We laugh about that, but then what about hoarding other things that are actually more important? And, you know, you saw people hoarding hand sanitizer and all kinds of nonsense. So that's one way we see it happening. But the reaction to, oh, my gosh, the world is coming to an end, and so we've got to rush to the grocery store and stock up, that is completely fear-based. And it has repercussions. And so when you see a panicked people, you don't see people that are calm, because you can't be panicked and calm at the same time. And we need calm people and calm leaders to be able to address uncertainty. Clarity is an important thing in a time like this. And again, if you're panicked, you can't get perspective long enough to get clear. And so that's what I meant by that, that let's be careful here that we don't take something that's really bad, that's really uncertain, that has caused a whole disruption and could be painful. We can't turn it into something bigger than it actually is. There's just going to be some things we've got to deal with. So let's get about the business of dealing with it. And for what we don't know, then let's just focus on the positive and deal with the negative when it actually becomes something, not build it up in our minds before it actually becomes something we have to deal with.
Yeah. I know that you deal with a lot of leadership aspects. You're also a father. I believe it was Dave's show that John Deloney maybe mentioned that right now, particularly men are feeling a little bit more helpless because they're to serve and protect, and men like to fix things. What would you say to men right now that are feeling a little aimless, a little directionless, a little hands tied behind their back?
Yeah, I would, again, focus on what you can do, not what you can't. Because you can get paralyzed if all you do is sit around and think about, well, I can't fix this, I can't take care of this, I can't take care of this. And it'll take you about 3 minutes to start to feel incredibly helpless and then, unfortunately, incredibly worthless.
Yeah.
That's the real fear in times like these. So, dudes, what can you do? Well, you can come home if you're still at work. If you're working from home, you can do your thing. You can make sure your wife and kids don't hear any negative conversations. So that means that you probably shouldn't have the negative conversations anyway. If you have the negative thought, replace it with a positive thought. Focus on something else. I just got a text from a good friend of mine who said he hasn't watched TV in 2 days.
Wow.
He's been at home, and he hasn't watched TV in 2 days. He's like, man, I'm just focusing on making money right now. And that's a good response. And so I think that, you know, you need to model the way right now. How would you want your kids to act if they came to you and they were scared to death over something you realized wasn't as bad as they thought it was? What would you say to them? I think you have to say that to yourself, and then you have to actually model it. So, again, I would be focusing on hanging out with the fam, playing board games, doing things you don't normally do. You have control of your time, you have control of your attitude, and you have control of your response. And I would focus on those three.
Ken Coleman, the author of the best-selling book, The Proximity Principle, and the host of The Ken Coleman Show, heard 7 days a week on Freedom 95. From a practical standpoint, let's talk a little bit of proximity principle. If someone was intentionally sacrificing maybe wages for an internship or making a conscious decision to make some sacrifices financially on their journey to their sweet spot, which is what you talk about, finding your sweet spot. But then they wake up and they need to pay bills now. How would you encourage them?
Yeah, pay the bills now.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the big picture. This is about the short term. So if we have a need in the short term, we can't look at ourselves and go, well, I can't do that because I've already decided I'm going over this direction. I want to be this when I grow up. So I can't go take care of something I need to take care of right now because I got my focus on the long term. No, you don't do that. You know, this is just like anything else, everyday life. You know, you're on the path. You got a normal day agenda, and all of a sudden you slip and fall, break your arm. Well, you got to go take care of the broken arm. And so right now, if you've got some short-term money issues, you've got to do that. And your dream is not dead. It's not gone. It's just on pause. And I think you have to understand the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got to press pause on the big picture and some of the things you were hoping to do or some of the things you were doing in order to tighten the belt, buckle down and do it, you got to do it. So if you got to go deliver pizzas right now, go deliver pizzas. You know, and by the way, be the healthiest pizza delivery guy ever and get as much sleep as you can and take as many vitamins as you can and do whatever you can and deliver more pizzas than anybody else to bring in some extra income, knowing that you are addressing the short-term financial problem. And then when this thing cycles back out, you can get back on the path of the big picture. But before you do that, you better make sure that you have a plan in place that this doesn't happen to you again.
I saw you say a short-term change doesn't have to impact your long-term dream.
Yeah.
From a practical standpoint, how do people continue to dream as they do what they got to do in the meantime?
Yeah, just carve out some time during the day. You know, is that 15 minutes? Is it 5 minutes? Depending on your life and how crazy it is right now, it may only be 5 minutes. Or maybe it's an hour before everybody wakes up. You've got to spend a little bit of time every day continuing to look at the big picture because it's what keeps you going. You know, so if you're working a second job or a third job, and this is true whether you're in the coronavirus crisis or not, but you've got to have a little bit of time to dream and look at the big picture and go, hey, I'm doing all of this so that I can eventually get here. And so that's just focused, disciplined time where you're in isolation in your mind and in your heart, and you get to dream. And I think if you do that intentionally every day, you'd be surprised at how much juice that will give you to do the mundane, you know, to do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do.
So you did a show recently about embarking on a job hunt during COVID-19, if I'm a college senior right now, of all the times to graduate, it lands here.
Yeah.
But that's not a death sentence, is it?
No, it's not. And again, you know, the reality is that depending on what field you want to go into and depending on how healthy the companies are that you're trying to get hired at, you might have to press pause.
Yeah.
Or rather, pause might be pressed for you is more realistically what you're going to be seeing right now. And so you've got some companies that put a hiring freeze. They're otherwise healthy companies, but they're just going to conserve cash right now. They're just going, whoa, let's slow down. And when this thing cycles through, they're going to lift the freeze, and then you get after it. But if you're in an industry that has high demand right now and they're hiring, get after it. But you just have to have perspective, okay? And if the pause button is pressed for you and you're coming out of college, then just go get something. Go do something, you know, unless you're in a situation where, again, isolation is being forced upon you. We all have to pivot right now and kind of just play the hand we're dealt on some level, meaning restrictions, companies, are they hiring, are they in a freeze, whatever. But there's still something we can do. And again, there are still plenty of places in this economy that need bodies right now because of the surge in demand for their product or their service.
It feels like you've been a little more proactive, consciously bringing good news to the forefront on your different platforms. What kinds of things are you finding?
Well, a lot of things. Everything from major companies like Walmart and Amazon deciding to hire, you know, hundreds of thousands of people between them. CVS, same thing, again, because you've got a high demand. You know, we posted something on my Instagram page last night that's had thousands and thousands of likes. Just the companies that are hiring right now, PepsiCo, Publix, Shipt, Target, Trader Joe's, UPS, you know, Whole Foods, Zoom, Microsoft, Kroger, Jet's Pizza, Domino's. By the way, we are a pizza-loving society. you know, you can't read all that and go, hey, people still want their pizza, man. They still want a warm slice to make them feel better. You know, if you think about delivery services, and even some restaurants are pivoting well. So we're telling stories of restaurants and even a liquor store in my neighborhood. They're staying open. You want a bottle of red wine? Order it online, and we'll put it out on the curb for you. So we're seeing businesses pivot because that's what businesses do.
Mm-hmm.
They see a problem, and they come up with a solution, and then they sell that solution. And then if there's some kind of restriction or some type of circumstance that changes, they go, okay, is there still a need? Is there still a problem? Does our solution still solve the problem? Great. How can we get the solution to them?
Yeah.
And so we're telling stories like that, you know, every day. Who's hiring? We're sharing stories of how companies are doing good things for people, like, hey, we're not going to lay you off. We'll send you home, but we're not going to lay you off. We're sharing stories of how the private sector and the government sector are working together, you know, whether it be, you know, holding student loan payments for 60 days or the federal government going, hey, we're going to extend the tax deadline to July 15th. I'm just sharing all those stories because I want my audience to hear you're not alone in this. You may not agree with the president. You may not agree with Congress. You may not, you know, there may not be agreement on all this stuff, but you need to know that you may not like the way they're doing it. You might not like the way they're saying it, but I will tell you that the most powerful and the best and the brightest, they are addressing this issue. I'm not thrilled with what Congress is doing right now. I'm just not. I think it's a bunch of nonsense. This ought to be a one-page bill. And I'm not thrilled with how they're doing it. But the reality is they're going to address it. We're not in this alone. And I think the perspective that I want people to have is that this thing is going to get better. It's going to be difficult. But we're going to get through it, and we're going to come out better.
Your show, Dave's show, the only real breaks from politics that we take in our lineup here at Freedom 95. I know you well enough to know that your background was in politics.
Yeah.
This current situation is kind of intertwined unavoidably into politics. I know you had told me when I was down there in December that you had kind of lost your appetite to talk politics. Do you have to kind of bite your tongue right now?
No, I'm not talking politics on my show. I will, but I'll tell you what I will talk about is leadership.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that, you know, what's happening in Congress right now is not a I'm not going to attack one side of the aisle or the other because I hold plenty of blame for both sides. Real leadership gets in a room and goes, hey, this is the real problem. This is the glaring need. The American people know it. We know it. We're going to have to put aside politics, and we're going to have to come up with some policy right now that addresses these needs. And I don't care who gets the credit. If you want the credit, fine. But we got to get in a room, and we got to vote. And it needs to be simple. We don't need to put all these complexities in and other agenda items. We just need to get it done. And I don't know why you couldn't sit down with a whiteboard in a room and a marker, and then somebody on a legal pad and a pencil, for heaven's sakes, and write out the initiatives in a piece of policy right now that would be a stimulus package. It's that simple. And don't believe anything else, because that's the truth.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, legislation doesn't have to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages. Now, there's legalese attached to every bill, but the reality is that you could come up with the deal points on a piece of paper and get it done. And that irritates me. I'm not gonna shy away from that. But that's both sides of the aisle. And you know, in my mind, it ought to be the Speaker of the House, all the leaders of the House and the Senate and the President in a room, and then come out and get a deal done. Because that's what the private sector would do. That's what business would do if they had a crisis. They get in a room and they solve it. And the American people, I will say this. The American people have allowed our leaders in Washington to largely go unchecked. We just let them do what they do, and then when the election time comes around, we start paying attention again a little bit, and then we vote based on who is the most or least unlikable person. And then that's what we do. But we don't hold our elected officials' feet to the fire. We have forgotten the powerful phrase, "We the people." And I think we're more victims than victors, and I think that's a problem. And I don't mind saying that, and I'll say that every day.
Because yeah.
If that makes you mad, well, then you just have a real problem. Because I'm just speaking the truth. I'm not talking about either party. I'm talking about both parties. I'm talking about leadership in general. So you got me a little bit fired up on that one, and I'm fine to address that.
Yeah.
But I'll always call leadership, poor leadership out, always.
No, you're good on leadership, and I'll just say as a compliment, your microphone sizzles when you are talking leadership, even in the scope of politics. And yeah. So I appreciate you speaking to that. But one thing that you say that has been kind of bouncing around in my head lately is clarity breeds confidence. And I've been thinking about, we're all, you know, you spoke to men earlier, but we all either are bosses or have bosses who have never been through this before. Especially somebody leading a small business right now. Talk about this concept of clarity breeding confidence for small business leaders right now.
Yeah, so clarity in times of complexity is the only way you get out of complexity. The way out of complexity is simplicity, and the way to get to simplicity is by getting clear on all of the things that are going on. Okay, so what's happening? Why is it happening? If we don't know why it's happening, what is it affecting? And we got to dive in. And so that's what's going on for small business leaders right now. Small business leaders have got to be clear. If you're facing a financial crisis because of this deal, you've got to get clear. Well, okay, Ken, what do I get clear on? You've got to get clear on what you know. That's, you know who your customer is. That doesn't change. Like, just because we've had a national slowdown doesn't mean that your customer has disappeared. They haven't.
Yeah.
Number two, what was the problem that the customer had? What is the problem that the customer has? Has it dropped in priority level right now? Could be. Because if it's still a high priority, then you don't have a problem. But if it's a little bit lower priority, which is what we're seeing with companies that are strained a little bit, people are kind of holding back. They're not spending. They're not doing things. So all of a sudden, you realize that your product, your service, is not as high priority in a time of crisis as it is when things are normal. So now you look at that and you go, okay, my customer's still my customer. They still have this need. It's just not as big of a deal. So what do I got to do to get their attention? So do I lower my prices? Do I give some of it away to keep them active, to keep them remembering me? That's what I mean by getting clear. What do I know to be true? What's the new challenge? And then how do we embrace the new challenge? That's clarity. And so now when I'm clear, I'm confident. But the reverse of this is when we never get those answers, we never do that kind of exercise to see, okay, where do we stand right now, then we are uncertain, and uncertainty breeds fear.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I don't know. And then now it's scary. It's very scary. When we don't know, we're very scared. But when we know what's really going on, well, now we have a lot more confidence because we go, okay, we've identified what's going on. We have identified what we think is the best way forward. So now we can move forward with confidence. And so that's what I mean by clarity breeding confidence. And by the way, let's give this a political context. That's my big beef with America's political leaders. They don't want to speak clearly, or they don't speak clearly. It's one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And when they don't speak and lead clearly, then the American people don't have a lot of confidence. And so I think in this time right now, I think our leaders could be doing a way better job of speaking and acting clearly. And what that does is gives people a lot of confidence that you're in charge, that that you're doing something. I think we need more of that.
That's good. I'll leave you with this. You've articulated very well different concepts to cling to during times like these. Every day when you go to your microphone, I believe, what, noon Central Time?
That's right.
When the mic?
Yeah, 11 to 1 Central. Because we got YouTube now.
Okay. You're a voice of hope. You are a public servant. You have to be equipped. What is Ken Coleman? What does it look like for you? What do you do daily to make sure that your own soul believes the sky is not falling, and then when you hit the air, that you are equipped to serve the public?
Yeah, I really appreciate this question because it boils down to this. This isn't just a Ken Coleman question. This is for all of you.
Yeah.
You cannot give what you don't have. So you can't give as a husband what you don't have. You can't give as a father what you don't have. You can't give as a friend what you don't have. You can't give as a leader. You can't give as a host or a speaker or a writer. You just can't. And you might be able to fake it for a little while, but eventually you just will fall apart. And so what I do is I'm very careful about what I consume. I'm careful about what I allow my brain to focus on. The minute I start getting a little wonky and I start getting a little bit of doubt, a little bit of fear, I've got to talk about it. And I got some people in my life that I talk to about it. My wife is one. My best friend is another. The guy that's my leader here, the guy who runs my whole brand, and then there's another guy who is a peer. And these are people that I will go tell them, man, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm feeling, and they give me great perspective. I don't allow those thoughts to fester.
Yeah.
So that's one thing on the negative side of things. The other thing is I truly am focused on all the good news and the positive news, and I'm not reading everything that's negative coming out of the media. I'm also reading epidemiologists, I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Who did I say that right?
That sounds good.
That's a tricky little word.
Epidemiologists, I think.
I'm reading those folks who say, hey, we're going to be okay. We're going to come out of this thing quicker than it seems. So I'm doing my own research, and I'm informing my own opinions so that when I go on the air, I'm not relying on anybody else's thoughts or opinions. I know exactly what I believe, and I know why I believe it. And I think that's the key. And then the other thing is, the last thing I'll say is I focus on the audience. I focus on who I'm there to serve. And once I start focusing on them, then it's hard for me to focus on anything that I'm dealing with.
Ken Coleman, he's emerging as one of America's leading voices on hope and passion and leadership. Ken, you're a great friend to us at Freedom 95. You were an outstanding host when I came down to visit your studio back in December. Really enjoyed that. Rumor has it we might get to do this a few more times this year, so I really look forward to it.
Sure. Absolutely. Anytime you want me. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ken. Be well.
You've been listening to the Voices of Freedom podcast on Freedom 95. For an audio archive, visit the podcast tab at freedom95.us.